Good morning. A week ago, last Wednesday night, we started a new class downstairs on counseling. And it was interesting to me that the heart, we talked about the heart of a man. Last weekend, through Wednesday night, we had the privilege of being in Fairbanks for a meeting up there on leadership. And we talked about God's shepherd and the life of a shepherd and the work of a shepherd. But the last night, we talked about the most important thing, the heart of a shepherd. And in all that, I thought, the heart is the basis of everything. Thank you, James. You led a couple good songs there. 443, Pure in Heart, O God. Make me to be. 744. What shall we do to an old heart? The heart is the base of everything. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Whatever's in the heart is what a man is. The heart reveals everything about a man. His motives, his interests, his values, where he puts his treasures. Everything is revealed if we know the heart of a man. We don't know the heart of men, but God does. God knows the heart of us. TJ just read to us in Psalms 139, God knows everything about us. He knows where we're going to sit down before we get up. He knows when we're going to get up. He knows what we're going to say before it ever enters our mouth. God knows us intimately, deep down in our hearts. So Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Even David, a man who did some great sins, some adultery, some murder. And yet God says David was a man after his own heart. Because no matter what David did, his heart, he loved God. And every time he was challenged on any sinful part, he repented immediately. His heart was with God. The problem of Israel. Israel had perverted what God wanted. God brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Under law all the way. Every man is born under law. You break a law, you sin, you die. But God brought Israel out of Egypt into the wandering in the wilderness 40 years. And when he gets to Sinai, he gives them a covenant. Not just a law, but a covenant. Now in a covenant, there's not only a law, there is a mercy portion of it, the sacrificial system. God didn't want the sacrifices. He wanted their obedience. He wanted their hearts. But the Jewish people turned that all around. And as you read the prophets, you see that Israel no doubt thought that God should be pleased with them. They're just offering sacrifice after sacrifice. Blood running off the altars to your ankles. Talks about offering thousands of bulls and 10,000s of lambs. And God's not satisfied? What's the matter with God? God had all their ritual, but he didn't have their heart. You read through the Old Testament, and you'd think the Jews were terrible people. Probably no worse than we. We gather here Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. We gather here Sunday afternoons. We gather here Wednesday nights. And many people go through the ritual, but their heart's not there. Jesus says to the Jews, might well say to some of us, well did Isaiah say to you hypocrites, with your lips you worship me, with your hearts you're far from me, in vain do you worship me. God wanted the heart from the beginning to now. God desires the heart. He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. 755 years or so before Jesus was born, Amos. In Amos 5:21, God tells him, I despise your feast. I take no pleasure in your solemn assemblies. When you come before me with burnt offerings and meal offerings, I'll not accept them, neither will I give regard to your peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, the music of your vows, but let justice roll down like streams and righteousness as great rivers. God wants the heart. Isaiah prophesies the same century, starting in probably 740 BC. In chapter 1, in Isaiah, verse 10, he says, give ear to the law of Jehovah, you rulers of Sodom. Nice thing to call God's people, huh? You rulers of Sodom, give ear to the law of God, you people of Gomorrah. What unto me is the multitude of your sacrifices, saith Jehovah. I've had enough of the offering of burnt rams and the fat of fed beasts. I take no pleasure, have no delight in the blood of bulls and of goats and of rams. And when you come to present yourselves before me, who has required this at your hand, that you trample in my courts? When you lift up your hands, I'll turn my head from you. When you make many prayers, I'll not hear. What was the matter? They're offering sacrifices. They coming to God, they're not missing the Sunday assembly. Of course, theirs was on Saturday, but we miss the Sunday assembly. They come. They would say, if you ask a Jew, who is your God? They'd say, Jehovah God. Their heart wasn't right with God. Micah prophesies the same century, probably 725 BC. They're complaining. Why won't God accept us? In chapter 6, verse 6, they says, wherewith shall we come before Jehovah? What shall I bring before the high God? Shall I offer burnt offerings of calves a year old? Will he be pleased with 1,000 rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn from my iniquity and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? They couldn't understand, why isn't God happy? We're giving all these sacrifices. We're coming to church every Sunday. Living like the rest of the world all week. And he says in verse 8, still in Micah 6, he has told thee, O man, what is good. What does Jehovah require of thee but to do justly, love kindness, and walk humbly with thy God? God says, give me your heart, not all the dead animals. He doesn't want ritual. He wants the heart. When Jesus told the Samaritan woman, they that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth, for such doth God seek to be his worshipers. Spirit from the heart and in truth. We often talk about people worshiping not in truth. But we're just as bad off if we don't worship in spirit. God wants the heart. 100 years later, Israel goes into Assyrian captivity. 100 years later, Jeremiah prophesies. Prophesying to the Judean nation, who is worse than Israel, according to Ezekiel 18. They're worse than Israel was. And he tells Jeremiah in Jeremiah 7, verse 2. He says, stand you in the gates of Jehovah's house and proclaim there these words. Thus saith Jehovah to all them of Judah that enter therein to worship. He didn't send him down to the brothels. He didn't send him to the bars where the drunks are, nor where the table of all the gamblers are and all the iniquity take place. Where did he send him? Stand in the gates of Jehovah's house. Stand right in the door of the church building. And what's he say? Thus saith Jehovah to all them, all of Judah that enter herein to worship. Verse 8 says, you have trusted in lying words that cannot profit. Will a man steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, follow after other gods you have not known, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say we're delivered that we could remit all these abominations? Behold, I have seen it, saith Jehovah. Where's our heart? God wants the heart. He's not going to take less than our heart. They go into Babylonian captivity. Babylonian captivity cures them of their idolatry. They come back from Babylonian captivity and they don't bow down to idols anymore, but their heart's still not with God. Malachi, before we finish out the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 10 says, is there not one of you who would close the doors that they kindle not the fire of my altars? For I have no pleasure in you, neither will I accept at your hand an offering. God says, give me your heart or don't even bother. The heart is what God wants. What is the heart? What's the heart that God wants? Well, we can talk about the seat of emotions and all of our feelings and all that. But a broader thinking about our heart would include our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind and our will and our emotions. It combines the rational thinking process of us, the volitional portion of us to do according to the will, and the emotions that drive it all. That's where our heart is. Every complete person has a mind. We all have a mind. Keep your heart, keep your mind with all diligence. When we get to the New Testament, the Jews didn't accept Jesus. Their heart still wasn't with Jesus. He had sent them into Babylonian captivity. They refused Jesus. Their heart's not with God. And he wipes out the whole nation in 70 AD. No more a nation of God. Because their heart wasn't with God. All the book of Philippians. We talked about Philippians a couple of years ago. Every chapter of the book of Philippians is talking about rejoicing and things that steal our joy. But it depends totally on where our heart is. In chapter 1, Paul tells you don't let circumstances or your environment steal your joy. Paul's in a prison, in a Roman prison. He don't know if they're going to cut off his head or not. And yet he says, Christ is preached, whether in pretense or in truth. Christ is preached, therefore I rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. You can't take Paul's joy because his heart is in the preaching of the gospel. Chapter 2, he says, don't you let pride. Don't let pride steal your joy. People that are proud, they can't be joyful because somebody else takes their place. But what's he telling? Where's your heart? He says, do nothing, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing through faction or through vainglory, but with lowliness of heart, counting other better themselves. Not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you to the things of others. Where's your heart? Chapter 3, he says, don't let possessions, worldly things, don't let them steal your joy. When our life is in the things that we have, we'll never have enough. Through our lives, if you're like me, you probably are. There's many things in my life I thought, boy, if I get that, man, I'm going to be satisfied. And I get that and I'm satisfied for about a week. Then I want something else. And if I don't get this, I can't have any joy. And Paul says, after he says everything a Jew has to brag about, Philippians 3, 5 and 6, circumcised the eighth day, a stock of Israel, a tribe of Israel, a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. It's touching the law of Pharisees, touching zeal, persecuted the church. It's touching righteousness, which is of law, found blameless, verse 7. Howbeit, what things for gain to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but refuge. Paul says, don't put your heart in things. Put your heart in Jesus, and you'll never lose your joy in Christ. Chapter 4, he says, don't let anxiety steal your joy. We have people that worry and are so anxious, they have no joy. He says in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. In nothing be anxious, but in all things, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And what happens? The peace of God shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say about your thoughts. Finally, brethren, verse 8, chapter 4. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Keep your heart with all diligence. He goes on to verse 9, says, the things which you learned, received from me and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. And all of that, that Paul says, just depends on the heart. Where is the heart? The heart includes our mind. Our heart is our thinking part. So he goes on to say in Proverbs, we mentioned Proverbs 4:23, but in Proverbs 23:7, he says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we think in our heart, that's what we're going to be. So we need to think. We need to think on things that God would have us think on. Think on biblical things. Think on being submissive, being just like Christ. That's what we do with our mind. That's part of our heart. We gather information of truth. Jesus says, if you abide in my words, then are you truly my disciples? You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what takes place in the mind. Understanding what God would have us do. Understanding what we should do. Proverbs. Proverbs 2:2 says, incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart unto understanding. Listen and get the wisdom. Incline your heart, your thinking part of you, to understanding. He'll say that again in 22:17 and 23:12 of Proverbs. And when Solomon finishes it all up, in Ecclesiastes 12:13, passage we all know, he says, this is the end of the matter. All things have been heard. All things is heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Many translations says this is the whole duty of man. Duty is not in the original language. It's not just our duty. It is the whole of us. We go to work. We do this, we go to the market, we buy, we sell, we raise children, we have a family life, we have everything going on in our lives that oftentimes is confusing. And Solomon says what? Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is all of it. And every relationship you have, and everything you do, it all comes under the canopy of fearing God and keeping his commandments. That's what we do. Number two, besides just having the mind of our heart, we have a will. The heart is the will of man. It's the will that determines what's true, what's important, what's urgent. You've probably heard me say, I read somewhere years ago, don't ever let the urgent take the place of the important. Satan can stir up more fires of urgency than you'll ever extinguish. Spend your life putting out fires. He said, don't let the urgent take the place of the important. Check our will. What are we doing? What are we thinking about? James lets us know. By the will is what the will is where we work out what our minds has determined is right. Our will to do this or not to do this. The informed will shows in action and commitment. James 2, 14 through the end of chapter 26. James shows us that no matter how committed we are, he calls it faith. Faith without works, without that faith being worked out, is a religious sham. It's useless. He says in that passage in verse 17, faith without works is dead. He doesn't say they don't have faith. Those people believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and he says that faith is as dead as anything can get. He'll say in verse 20, faith without works is barren, has no fruit. It's vain. It's useless. He'll say in 26, the last verse of that chapter, as the body without the spirit is dead, even so, faith without works is dead. That portion of our heart is the will. You see, God gave us a mind to determine what is right and what is wrong. He gave us a will to work that out. And if we don't work those out, then God cannot be pleased. Because James, by inspiration, says, all that faith is dead. That's the difference, which I've often said, between believers and disciples. Believers believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, but what are they doing about it? That's discipleship, walking in the steps of our Lord Jesus. Even the demons believe it. In that passage, verse 19 says, you believe God is one, you do well. The demons believe and shudder. I mean, they believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, so much, they shudder. Has your faith ever made you shudder? And those demons will receive what? An eternity in hell. Why? Because all the faith of those demons, they knew, they understood perfectly better than we do who Jesus was. And they'll spend eternity in hell. Why? Because they had no will to be obedient to what the mind told them was truth. Number three. Every complete person has emotions. Before we go to that, there one last verse. Psalms 119, verse 59, tells us about our will. He says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. That's the will. Thought on my ways, but I turned my feet unto his testimonies. The emotions. Emotions. Emotions is that which ignites the conclusion of our mind and our will into action. It's what gives us enthusiasm, excitement. It gives us passion from our emotions. Our emotions guided by the mind. Emotions not guided by the mind and the will are often destructive. But emotions driven by the mind of sound reasoning from Scripture and from the will to do that which is right guides our emotions to have a passion to serve our Lord. Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 20, verse 7 to 9, says, O Jehovah, thou hast commanded me, and I was yielded because thou art mightier than I, and I was obedient. And I've become a laughingstock all the day. And everybody mocks me. And every time I speak, I cry out. I cry violence and destruction, and your word has become a reproach unto me and a derision. And if I say, I'll not make mention of him anymore, nor speak anymore in his name, then there is in my heart. What's there? Burning fire shut up in my bones. And I'm weary with withholding, and I cannot contain. Where's the fire? Psalms 39:3, I think. Before you write it down, look it up. Psalms 139:3 says, my heart was hot, and while I was musing, the fire burned in my heart, then spake I with my tongue. Where's our heart? Do we have a fire going on? Are we using our mind? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Brethren, if you've not come to our Lord Jesus, don't come to Him until you determine with all your heart to give your souls to our Lord for an eternity. Maybe we need to rededicate our heart and give it back to the Lord. Whatever you need to do to make your heart right with God, to keep your heart with all diligence, do it right now while we stand and sing.